I invite you to open your Bibles with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4. In just a moment, I'd like to read for you verses 1 through 16. Aaron, wondering if maybe I could get some help from you to pass out some handouts here. You might want to recruit one other. Charlie, you want to help on one side and Aaron on the other? As I stand up here tonight, you know there are many more of you on the right than on the left. And maybe in West Michigan that's pretty typical. Many more on the right than on the left. So I don't know what that says about you folks over here, but just an odd arrangement of us together tonight. Maybe I should just say west and east. That would be better, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, gives us that great call of God through the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus and to the church today of what it means to live together as God's people. And tonight we want to be thinking about the new Emmanuel, part two of two. We thought this morning about the Spirit of God being the new Emmanuel, the new way after Jesus that God chose to be with us. In Jesus Christ, God was with us. He was Emmanuel in his Son, in the flesh, in human form. But once Jesus ascended into heaven, God chose to be with us, to be Emmanuel, through the presence and the power and the ministry of his Holy Spirit. And so I'm encouraging you to think about the Holy Spirit in that kind of way, the new Emmanuel. And tonight, I'd like to have you think about the new Emmanuel in terms of simply the next chapter in our life together as believers, as part of Emmanuel Christian Reformed Church. And I'd like to sort of lay out for you the plan, to build a plan for the next couple of years and beyond, and how God invites us to do that, an opportunity that he's given to us, and a chance for us to begin to think about that together. From Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read for you tonight verses 1 through 16. You notice the heading there, if you're using a Bible near your seats on page 1069, unity and maturity in the body of Christ. And that's what God continues to call us to be, united and mature in him. Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." May God bless his word to us this night. I'd like to think just briefly with you tonight about three phrases from this passage, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, make every effort, unity in the faith, and to become mature. And the balance of our time will be spent thinking about the two-year renewal project that God is allowing us to participate in the next 2 years. But in this passage, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, make every effort, in verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I think it's easy to conclude that if Paul is saying, make every effort, that some effort is required. that unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace, is not something that just automatically happens, and it's no surprise to us that that's not the case, that it would automatically happen. When God chooses to join people together, and they perhaps don't have a common frame of reference for life, but they come from a variety of backgrounds and perspectives, and he unites them through his Son and his Spirit, it will require that every effort be made to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, just from a human perspective. Now add into that mixture of different people, different backgrounds, different perspectives, different experiences, a whole spiritual battle in the principalities and the powers and the realms of this world and the other, and recognize that that makes a whole nother level of complication and of distraction for the church. And so if the evil one is against the church, trying to break her apart, destroy the unity that God gives us in Christ, it's no surprise that Paul would say, make every effort to keep the unity that he gives to his church in Jesus. It'll be easy for a church in any day, in any place, in any generation, to take their eyes off of Christ and to look at something else and let that something else be more important. The unity that we have is always the unity in Jesus, and the unity that we have in Jesus always comes from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's primary job is to point people and the church to Jesus. The Spirit never points at himself. Jesus says, I never tell you anything except what the Father tells me. And Jesus says, the Spirit will come to you and he'll teach you the things that I have spoken to him. He'll remind you of what I have taught you. And so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always working in sync, in harmony, together to keep our focus on Christ, the head of the church. But it requires making every effort, because people are different and there's a spiritual battle taking place. The effort is for unity in the faith, that we would not be distracted and go this way or that way, not be tossed about by this teaching or that teaching, but that the unity would come in the faith. One Lord, one hope, one faith, one baptism. That's the unity we strive for. And as God's people growing together, we look for ways that God allows us to participate in, so that those who are new in Christ can grow up and become mature, and those who are mature in Christ can continue to lift up those who are growing. The goal is to be mature in Christ, to be strong in our beliefs, to be strong in our love, and to be strong in our service, to be mature. And so God expects his church, commands his church, and thanks be to God, equips his church to grow and to become more and more mature. That's the target that we aim at together, that we might be healthy and that we might be mature in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you go about that? How does that cash out? How does it play out in everyday life of a church, in a congregation, from year to year, from decade to decade? How does that happen? Well, God allows us to consider facts and make plans and pursue programs and go down paths that he gives to us and walk through doors that he opens and follow the lead of the Spirit when he blows a mighty wind, to ride the wave when the wave is right in front of you of God's Spirit, to pray for his revival producing fire to come down. There are a lot of different ways in which we aim at becoming mature in Christ and being united in him. Making every effort eventually has to cash out into decisions and plans and policies and programs when people live together in faith. And so tonight, I just want to introduce to you the process that we'll be part of over the next few years and into the future. And along the way, one of our goals will be what the early church had as its outcome when it had really its first big church fight and had to come to some kind of decision about how do we live now into the future. In Acts chapter 15, that result is recorded, and the result was, we're going to send some people with a letter, and they're going to present the final decision of the body of the church. In a sense, it would have been like having a synod way back when. The Jerusalem Council has spoken. But they didn't just speak in a paper document. They sent someone to be there in the flesh. And for our purposes tonight, the details of all that decision about circumcision and uncircumcision and food offered to idols and all those details aren't as important as the process that they went about. They talked, they prayed, they planned, they looked to the scripture for truth, and after all of that, coming together, sharing with one another, talking with one another, seeking God's direction, they came to the place where they concluded this, Acts chapter 15, verse 28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. On this Pentecost Sunday, the way the church makes a plan and looks ahead to her future in the next chapter that God would have for her is first of all by seeking the direction, the leading, the guiding, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, by doing that not on our own or as individuals or even as a small group, but as a wider body with different frames of reference representing God's people. And so as they gathered believers together in Jerusalem, they said, how are we going to respond to these other places in the church where people are now different from us? They have different practices, different backgrounds, different beliefs about circumcision, about uncircumcision, about food offered to idols, about food not offered to idols, about things that are clean and unclean. How are we all going to live together now in Christ Jesus? And so when they got together, they finally got, after conversation and prayer and the study of Scripture and sharing their life's experiences, came to the place where they said, it seemed good to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And that's where we want to be as we walk through a renewal project in the next couple of years. Now, some of you are thinking, renewal project, what are you talking about? Well, the Council of the Church is familiar with that. If you were at our congregational meeting, we gave you just the smallest of tidbits about what's coming up tonight. You get to get a little bigger bite, and in the weeks ahead, more and more. The two-year church renewal project is a project that we, Emmanuel Christian Reformed Church, are participating in, along with 10 to 12 other churches in the area. I believe that there are 12 on board, but you know, I can't say 100%. I thought that was the last email that I read. We have a full slate of 12. 12 was the maximum. 12 churches of varying sizes, some being led by pastors, some are vacant, some are struggling desperately to stay alive and see if God even has another chapter in their life. Others know that there's more chapters to come and they want to discover what they are. But 12 churches, let's just say there's 12 because I'm fairly confident there are, 12 churches in this area will be learning and growing simultaneously to discover what is God's plan for the next chapter in their life together in the next chapter of ministry. This is happening because Pastor Keith Doornbos from Providence CRC in Holland, and if you've been around Emmanuel for a while, you'll recognize the name Doornbos, one of the pastors of Emmanuel CRC from 1960 to 1969 was Milt Doornbos. That was the same period when God allowed us to add on office space and classrooms and basement below, this little wing here to my right. Pastor Milt Doornbos was pastor here, and one of his sons was Keith Doornbos. And Keith grew up here, you know, where the Family Life Center is. That's where he played ball and football in the backyard. Grew up, became a pastor, pastored church in Holland, Michigan. He's getting, to the last phase or portion, segment of his life as a pastor in full-time ministry. And he's asking God, God, what do you want me to do? And he was thinking God would want him to serve a church like Providence when he went there. He calls it a church with a broken wing. God, could you use my gifts, my talents, the way that you invested in me to help a church like that? And God said, no, that's not what I want you to do. What I want you to do is use your experience and the blessings that I've granted you at Providence and the insights and the learnings that you've discovered to help not one church, but to help a number of churches, a number of established churches. And to do it in such a way that there's a possibility that this brand new renewal project model, if God says, yes, this is a way I want to refresh, revive, and renew churches in the Christian Reformed Church, could be used, you know, beyond these 12 churches in West Michigan to other churches across the land. And so Keith was called by God to be the point person for this renewal project. And the vision is this, that these 10 or 12 churches will have teams of people. And right now we're in the process of trying to build a team. So that's why I'm taking time to tell you about this tonight, because you might be on that team. The team of people includes these 10 positions, if you see on the next slide. An elder, a deacon, the pastor, a person representing prayer ministries, worship ministries, adult discipleship, outreach, student ministries, children's ministries, and assimilation. Each of the 12 churches will have a team that looks like that, you know, with a person or persons representing those areas. Each of the 12 churches will have that team. That team will meet approximately every month, but three times a year, that team will go for a training event, and that training event will encourage them in the process of God's plan of renewal for them and understanding what their next chapters in ministry will be. So let's say our team from Emmanuel goes to the training event, the conference, if you will, and we have a speaker and we have inspiration, we have teaching from God's word that will help us make a plan. That'll be part of the time that we spend together. The rest of the time that we spend together with the other 12 churches will be the elder from Emmanuel will meet with the elder from the other 12 churches. The deacon from Emmanuel will meet with the deacon from the other 12 churches. The person for prayer will meet with all the prayer representatives, worship, adult discipleship, etc. So the collaboration of learning together will happen both in a large group setting, but also in groups of 12. 12 churches, one person from each category, talking, learning, sharing, and keeping each other accountable. Well, what are we going to do when we meet, and what are we going to do in these monthly meetings and large group settings? There's really a three-part goal for renewal. And the first year will be spent doing this, investigating and designing. Investigate means you come together and you say, let's remember our history together. Let's remember 1948. Let's remember how God birthed the new congregation in Hudsonville, of the Christian Reformed Church when there was only one. Let's remember all the way back to Zutphen, who gave birth to the first CRC, who then gave birth to Emmanuel. Let's remember our history. Let's remember how other churches got started here and how Emmanuel is a part of that. Let's talk about ministries that have come and those that have gone, ministries that are current, an investigative process to say, who are we, where have we been, what is God doing, and what does that look like? And then the second half of the first year is a design phase, a design saying, knowing who we are, knowing the resources that God has in front of us, the needs of our community, the needs of the world in which we live in, could we design some goals in all of these areas of those team members representing? And you'd come to the place where you'd say, okay, with regard to worship, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that for the next while we would pursue this path. When it comes to adult discipleship, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that for the next while, this is where we'll invest our energy. When it comes to outreach, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that God would use us to try to be a blessing in our community in this kind of capacity. You understand how that's going to look? So in all those different areas, working together with other churches, leaning on God's word, seeking the direction of His Holy Spirit, that we together would be doing that. Now on the team, it's made up of 10 people. But we would shortchange our church and ourselves and God's church and His kingdom. We said, well, those 10 people, they should just do everything. They should make all the decisions. Those 10 people need to be representatives of God's church. And so if God has made you a passionate person about outreach, whether you're on that team or not, your voice would be solicited to get into the mix to say, boy, I believe that God might be calling us in this way. What do you think? So that together we'd come to that place where we'd say, not only for a team of 10 or a collaboration of 12 churches, but that we would say as a congregation, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that this is how God is leading us. Now, because people are different and preferences are different and it's part of a spiritual battle, what do you think we're going to have to do in 2 years to make that happen? We have to make every effort. Make every effort. Making a plan that's led by the Spirit, inspired by God, and advances His kingdom in this world doesn't just happen. You make every effort to do that, both in sync with the Spirit, but to also keep the unity and the bond of peace that God gives to us. And so we'll investigate. Who are we? Where have we been? What has God been doing? We'll design a plan. And then finally, build is simply the representative word for year number two and beyond. Build is putting into practice, implementing, starting to try, testing some things. It says, how could we, at this stage of our life together as God's people, move in the direction where we believe that He's calling us to be, and do that in the wisest, the most effective, the most well thought out possible way? Building, simply building what God wants to be built. Desiring what God wants us to desire. Pursuing what God wants us to pursue. So when we think about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost and giving birth to the church, tonight I wanted to encourage you to also think about the Holy Spirit coming to Emmanuel CRC as the new Emmanuel, the way that God's with us, and giving birth to simply the next chapter of ministry and life that we share together as a congregation. And to think about how the Holy Spirit of God desires and does this again and again and again in churches, not only here in West Michigan or these 12 that are gathered together, but all around the world. How God, in His mighty strength and mighty power and omnipresence, being able to be everywhere at all times, and omnipower, being more powerful than any other person or creature in all the universe, that God is giving birth through His Holy Spirit to the next chapter of ministry for churches all around the world. And that's going to look way different in Uganda, where young girls stand up and make a profession of faith, and they're going completely against everything in their community, where their community believes in the gods of nature all around them, and where they practice animistic religions, that when they stand up and make that profession of faith, and what that does to their own life and their future looks a whole lot different than it does in West Michigan. But God, by His Holy Spirit, through the gift of Pentecost, is able to give birth to the next chapter of a church in Uganda as much as He is able to give birth to the next chapter of a church right here in West Michigan. So this little sheet here is sort of the summary handout. You need to know that this is a pilot project. It's never been done before. It's in sync with Calvin Theological Seminary and the Board of Home Missions of the Christian Reformed Church. And we're praying to God with thanksgiving that we as a congregation are able to participate. I'm not sure of all the churches who are participating, but I'm pretty confident that Fairway CRC is one of them. West Olive CRC is another. And I can't come up with any other ones off the top of my head. But we want to let you know what God is calling us to as a congregation in terms of trying to come to that place where we say it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that these would be our next steps that we do together. So as time goes on and you say, well, I'm interested. I mean, I'm interested in the whole process. I'm interested in this particular part of the process. You know, God has made you someone who's interested in assimilating new members into a congregation or assimilating new believers into a family of God. We want to know that. So you can contact me, you can contact the office, and as we let you know about more and more information, there'll be chances for you to say, okay, we'll fill out this form. I'm interested in, you know, being a member of the 10-person team, or I'm interested in this particular area. We'd like to know that and see how God leads. The reason that we're talking about it tonight is that the very first kickoff event, and you can see that on your handout, is the end of June. Now, if you're like me, you know that from May 19 to the end of June happens in a blink of an eye. So we're hoping to have either a full team or almost a full team in place by the end of June, and then there'll be some more training that happens in the fall and the winter of the spring of the next two seasons. So God calls His church to make every effort to discover unity, calls his church to grow and mature, calls his church to be healthy, not only for the sake of a church or a body of believers, but for the sake of the world, and so that God can use people that he blesses to be a blessing to others. And that's what we seek to happen in the next while as we learn and grow and plan and pray and discover together. Would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray for your blessing on our congregation. We pray for your blessing on Emmanuel, and we thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us, that you came to earth, that you were a baby born in Bethlehem. Lord Jesus, that you lived, that you died, you rose again, and now you're at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning over us. We thank you, God, that when Jesus left, you did not leave your people, your disciples, alone, but that you decided to form your church, your body here on earth. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming. We thank you for being our teacher. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for again and again and again pointing us to Christ, our Savior. And so we tonight seek to follow your leading. We know that we need your filling and your power to make a plan for ministry in a world that is in constant battle with principalities and power. Lord, we know we need your Holy Spirit, and we would not want to make a plan without you and your word and your guidance. And so keep us in your word. Keep us leaning on your Spirit. Keep us filled up with you. And Lord Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.